Okay, part two. What is considered carrying? Or I think the original title that we put down is "What may one carry without an eruv?" So last week when Sheldon announced it at the end of the shul, Mark Solomon leaned over to me and said, "You know, that could be a very, very short shiur. Just say nothing and move on from that." So and then he said, "Or maybe you could just talk about carrying a tune. You can carry a tune when there's no eruv." Right, but so I changed it to what is considered carrying, and really what it breaks down to is that there's two categories of things that is not considered carrying. Both of them have to do with things that you wear. One is considered clothing, and the other one is considered ornaments. Right, so those are the two. Tachshit, begadim, and tachshit are permitted. If it is not permitted, it is known in halacha as a masa. It's known as, or masoi. It is known as a burden that you are carrying with you. So why is that so okay? The Gemara in Shabbos, by the way, there are some halachos in Shabbos that you get about four lines in the Gemara, and then that's you have to figure out the volumes and volumes based on four lines. This, there is Mishnah after Mishnah after Mishnah, I think a few prakim, that just talk about these cases. This is okay, this is not okay, this is okay, this is not okay. And it goes through a long list of things. It's difficult to figure out exactly how to translate it into nowadays. What we'll do is we'll point out the principles, and with the modern day Svarim that have come out, so the Rabbi Ribbia's book, and the Shabbos home, so they do the work of trying to connect all the modern day applications to things that are found in Shulchan Aruch. So how do you know that even that is okay? So it's never said explicitly what the rule is in the Gemara. It's never said explicitly, well, if it's clothing or if it's tachshit, so then it's okay. So why is it okay? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol yotzi b'davar she'eino tachshit ve'eino derech malbush." If it's something that is not a ornament or a jewelry, we'll call it an ornament, that'll be just our language. Ve'inu derech malbush, and it is not something that you wear. Ve'utziu k'derech sharegim lehutziu. So, davar, and you carry it the way you normally carry it. So you're chayiv, right? That is an isser d'oraisa, biblical prohibition on Shabbos. Ve'chol tachshit shehi roughly, she'efshar lo bekal lipol, asr latzis bo v'im yatza pater. Then he goes into some details. It says in any jewelry that is loose and is possible for it to fall off, so that is also prohibited to go out on Shabbos. Why is that okay? So the Aruch HaShulchan in source 2 simply says, well, it's not possible any other way. Otherwise, are you going to walk around naked? I mean, that doesn't make sense. So you have to be carrying beged, and then clothing has to be okay. Why? And then his svara kind of is, well, because that's bottle to the guf, that's kind of part of the body. So clothing that a person wears, so that's going to be considered part of the body, and similar to ornaments. So over the course, that's in source two. So back into source one, he actually already gives a few examples. He says, Hilkach, back in the bold line, in the third line, he says, Hilkach lo yatsi ish lo b'saif lo b'keshes lo b'tris v'lo b'ev lo b'rach lo b'kelim she'inam tashit. You're not permitted to walk with swords or with bows or with shields or with all these war implements. So one is not permitted to carry those because it is not it's not a beged, nor is it a tachshit, nor is it considered an ornament. Now there are some swords that are ornamental. One can make a case that is okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, or already referred to the modern days, but he has a tshuva to the Chevrei Hatzalah. In one of the later volumes of Igros Moshe, he has a letter to the Hatzalah people, and when they asked about carrying around walkie-talkies, and he says that that's okay. It is totally, he says, not heter mishum bikuach nefesh, heter gummer, to walk around with walkie-talkies, because that is a sign of prestige. That, I don't know, everybody considers it prestigious, but they certainly consider it prestigious to walk around with walkie-talkies. So therefore he thought that was a 100% okay. Somehow I came across, and I was shocked that this was actually on the OU website, but somebody wrote on the OU website an article about packing heat on Shabbos. Right? What are the rules about that? Yeah. So he says, so he has two issues that he discusses. Clearly this person is, you only sit down to write such an article if you're on, one side of the debate. But he said that, first of all, in terms of it being muksa, he feels that, well, at worst, what is a gun? A gun is at worst what we call a klisha malachto l'isser, right? It is a object that's primary purpose includes a malacha, right? And what does a gun do? A gun lights a something, and it explodes, a fuse, it explodes, and it shoots a bullet, right? So lighting a fuse is an Isser D'oraisa of Mavi, right? You're lighting something on Shabbos. So that is clearly not allowed. So he says that would be called a klisha malachto le'isser, right? A object whose malacha is used for prohibited things. This is just within the realm of muksa, before you even carry it without an eruv. So he says, well, so first of all, you're allowed to carry klisha malach d'lisser, what we call it tzorach gufo, right? That's the classic, a hammer to crack a nut, right? So it's not prohibited to move. It's prohibited to move for no reason. So here he says, well, maybe walking around with it is a reason. Now, he says, but you can even go further than that, because what is a gun's primary use, he claims, so this is, I don't know how much Norm is going to like this, but what is a gun's primary use? It's not to shoot people. A primary use of a gun is to show people that you have the gun. And by showing people that you have the gun, that is going to solve any of the problems that you have. So therefore, he claims the primary use of a gun isn't to shoot it. The primary use of a gun is to hold it. If that's the case, it's not even a klisha malach d'l'isser, and therefore it's not even considered muksa. That was claim number one. Claim number two, so that's only within an Eruv or within a house. What about carrying it outside of an Eruv? So there he said that's a little bit more difficult. That you have to say it's either a pikuach nefesh or a suffik pikuach nefesh. Now, is walking around with a gun, without a gun, a suffik pikuach nefesh? Viennese dicey, I don't think so. At least not in Linwood in the year 2015. I don't think so. I don't buy it. So that's why when the Eruv is down, that's kind of the advice, is not to, for those gun handlers that we have amongst us, so the advice to them is to not to pack that Shabbos. There are those that are allow it. I mean, certainly I think in some places in the world, I think in the Shtachim, if they have to do patrols and things like that, so certainly they're going to carry guns. There is an issue, I saw it actually, I didn't read the article, someone pointed out, what about a soldier carrying his gun in Israel, that's not really, I mean, then really is attached. Either it's attached or, you know, something along those lines. So is that allowed? I don't remember where I saw it, and I don't think I read through to see what their conclusion was. But that is a, you know, Lemaisa issue just comes out of this first little section here, of things that are design, things that we might not think of designs might really be considered attached.
I'm just like overwhelmed. It's talking about if there's an error, correct?
The first thing is a muksa issue, right? So that's even in the house. It's a question whether you can pick up a gun.
Okay, so you can, but you can carry it as long as there's an error,
right?
Again, like you want to like show off your gun to people.
Well, No. The possibility A might be to show it off. Yes, but the claim beyond that, no. Not because you want to show it off. This thing in Shulchan Aruch is saying you can't. I mean, weapons are not showing off things, so therefore you would not be allowed to carry it on Shabbos. However, carrying a gun, for the reasons that people around here would carry around a gun, the two issues are: A, it might be muk, so B, if the Eruv is down, you can't carry it when the Eruv is down. So this person claimed that he didn't think it was really muks at all. But even if it is, it's a klisha malach d'l'isser, in which case there's a use for it where you'd be allowed to carry it anyway. So the muksa thing doesn't really apply. But the carrying without an eruv in around here, I don't think rises to the case of a safek bikuach nefesh.
What about the other side?
Yeah,
that's what he's saying. You can carry without an eruv because it's safek bikuach nefesh.
No, he wrote, ask your posek. You know? Yeah, there's room to say that maybe whatever, but he concluded
ask. Some people don't want to walk at night.
Okay. All right. So maybe there's room to say it. They should ask their posek. So so now we move on with regards to clothing. So what is considered clothing? So
the only things he's saying are no are the weapons.
Well, no, just in that sif. I mean, this sif, this simon in Shulchan Aruch that talks about what you can carry is simon shin aleph. All of the sources here are from simon shin aleph, and there are nun aleph sifim. It's one of the longest sections in Shulchan Aruch in the entire thing. And it really goes through line after line after line. But just in this initial line, he threw out the issue with these weapons. Yeah. Okay. So now to continue.
Again, that gets you back to Joshua, being that was very extraordinary that they fought the battle of Jericho on Shabbos.
Right, I mean, that was one of the many prohibitions that they violated was
a dinder
abundan of carrying their weapons. But that was actually, that was clearly a clue. I mean,
the guy
that was a direction from the
So the prohibition of walking out with a weapon doesn't apply if you're going out to battle.
Well, if you need to go out to... Right, so that's a case of pikuach nefesh. I mean, that clearly they would need it. We had... I remember in Phoenix, these guys once... I don't know what they were doing there. They just showed up, and they were all carrying guns. Like, that was... they were like... They were part of some Israeli defense thing that was doing practice in Arizona. Go figure. And they were going to be around Phoenix for Shabbos, and they, like, all came to shul. All of them had these guns coming out of them. It was like... It was surreal. But that was... You know, they felt that this is important and whatever.
Well, yeah. They have another thing. If you can't secure it when you lock it up, you're responsible for that. They have to keep it with them all the time.
In Israel, with the army. Right. I heard about that, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so... So the Shulchan Aruch... So what is considered clothing? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. So Davar Shehu Derech Malbush in source number 3. It's what you wear. Even if you're only wearing it to keep away dirt, you're permitted to walk around with it on Shabbos. So what is this? And then he goes he talks about a scarf on the second line. I think that's okay as well. So anything that is clothing, one is permitted to wear. And even if it is clothing to protect your clothing, so that is okay. Again, key, clothing to protect your clothing. That is permitted without an eruv. So if you're wearing, if it's drizzling outside and you're not really going to be wet, but your clothing is going to get wet, you are permitted to wear a raincoat above your...
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah comments about Beged Sh'altzi, Hainu, Im Eino Derech Malbush, right, in the little Mishnah Berurah below, Hainu Eino Derech Malbush, Rak Shemuneach Al Rosha Levad, He says, however, if you're putting it on top of, if it's something that's just protecting your clothing, something that is not clothing that is protecting your clothing, right? So that would be a problem, unless you could have it cover part of you as well. So that's talking about, right, those plastic rain hat things, right? To take the, to put a plastic just on top of the hat, or to take a plastic bag and put it on top of the hat, right? So that's problematic because you're not wearing, that's not clothing. You're not wearing it as clothing. You're wearing it to protect your hat, right? Not really to protect you. So therefore, that is a problem. Moshe talks about it being a problem. I remember seeing the Rav Soloveitchik also refer to that as being a problem, unless one can say that it's going to pour so much that it's going to go through the hat and it's going to bother me. So then maybe you could say it's protecting me as well. But that is...
plenty of guys with black hats when it's raining.
This is only when there's no eruv. This is only without an eruv, okay. Right? All of this is without an eruv. Without an eruv to use a non-clothing object to cover up your clothing, so that is a problem.
But I could go out in my apron.
So aprons are also aprons. Might not, I noticed explicitly he didn't say that aprons were a problem. So aprons are not clothing. It's he didn't consider clothing. I was wondering about the same thing. Might have been like a plastic. So, like a plastic apron for sure would be a problem.
Right.
To wear a nice apron.
Yeah, I got nice aprons too.
It says it's protecting you from dirt.
Yeah.
But the question is, it has to be a beged that's protecting you. No. A apron is not protecting you from dirt. It's protecting your clothes from dirt.
Yeah.
So to protect your clothes from, to protect you from dirt, you're allowed to wear anything. You're even allowed to wear something that's not a garment. So to wear a plastic garbage bag over yourself, as a raincoat for yourself, that would be permitted. To wear a garbage bag as a cover for your clothing, right, that would not be permitted. Right, so it has to be, you kind of need it to rain more.
It has to be covering like your skin.
No, it doesn't necessarily have to be covering your skin. Even if it's covering your suit, it would be okay because after a while it's going to soak you also.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just soaking, if it's just raining, you know, it's just drizzling, you just want to protect your tie, so that would be a problem.
Yeah, when I learned this, the basic thing was the function of the clothes had to protect you.
Right.
That's what it was there for.
Right.
If the plastic on top of your hat stopped, like you said, the rain from coming in,
right,
then you can use it. But anything that is not protective of your body,
right.
is excess and shouldn't right. be worn.
So the only exception to that would be if it's actual clothing. I mean, to wear a jacket, to wear a coat over your suit to protect your suit, that would be okay.
That I didn't know. If it would, I thought you would do that because in some ways it would be protecting you from the additional protecting you from the cold and heat.
Okay,
it would, that's the way I understood it. But
even putting rain gear over your suit, which some people do.
Right, so rain gear is considered clothing.
That's considered
I think
clothing.
So, yes.
So an apron
because
is not
the rain
clothing.
Would come in.
Right, so that was what they said. Apron's not considered clothing. I was, you know, I don't know if it's a really funny one. maybe it's more of a reason. When I was in Hillcrest, in the community that I grew up in Hillcrest, and on Simchas Torah, they have these aprons. They have a big kiddush, and the men all wear these aprons. It's a Youngers of Hillcrest Chulad Brigade. And that was like a real chashuv thing to get to wear the apron. It's one thing to have a hat. All the waiters got to wear hats. But if you had an apron, that was chashuv. So you can make a case that that's clothing, not just protective. Continue on. Okay, the second source, number four. So that is what's going on here? So ayotzi betalis mikufelis al katefa. So if you wear the clothing that you wear has to actually be doing its function as clothing, right? The haimish al achshas, but so to wear a talis that is folded around you over your shoulder, so that would be a problem. Right? To wear the talis as it's normally worn and to put a coat over that, so that's fine. That's wearing a beged as a beged. But to just throw it over your shoulder, and then to walk around like that, so that would be a problem because the beged is not being worn in its beged, in its regular beged fashion. There is an issue I saw about not rolling up sleeves. So he made the claim that rolling up sleeves is a machlokas, rolling up sleeves and not rolling up sleeves because that's just extraneous and you'd rather not be there. I don't know, my wife won't let me wear short sleeve shirts, so the only she thinks they look, whatever, they don't look good on me. So therefore you have to roll up your sleeves. So I don't think it's a problem for me, but there some suggest that would be an issue. The Mishnah Brewery here makes a comment about glasses and seems to say that glasses are actually a problem. One would not be permitted to wear glasses. Now, why not? So if you look at the end of the line there, it said, Dilma yiflu me'ela v'asi l'sui dalet amos, that perhaps you're going to fall off, and you're going to carry them dalet amos. You're going to carry them for amos. So the later authorities point out that's actually a quote from the Chai Yadam. So Chai Yadam was in the 1700s in Vilna. So that might have been true in Vilna in the late 1700s, that glasses were, people didn't really wear them permanently. You wore them, you put them on, whatever. But nowadays, most people's glasses stick to their faces on a pretty regular basis. And so I think, I don't know of any poskim that say that glasses that one wears always would be prohibited to carry on Shabbos.
Wait a minute, now, go back to the main principle, though. The main principle is protection of your body, function for your body.
Or clothing. Yeah.
Like clothing. You would see that as the same?
It's clothing. I'm wearing it, yeah.
What does it do?
It lets me see.
Yeah, makes you not fall flat on your face.
Okay. I remember, I used to wear glasses. Unlike you, I used to wear glasses. I remember.
It makes you see. No, right. Okay.
I will see even more than that. We'll see even more than that in the ornament section. Right, so reading glasses then are a problem. Because reading glasses people take on and off. There's a common principle that was actually mentioned in the beginning, that things you take on and off are going to be a problem. So reading glasses are going to be a problem. I remember I had a member...
The
Eruv is down. Or if there's no Eruv. I had a member in Phoenix who... I don't remember if he didn't hold or held. He held to the Eruv, but the Eruv had not been up for that long. So he used to place reading glasses. And like he was a single guy. He used to go to people's houses. And he had regular people that he used to go to. So he just would buy reading glasses and leave them in their house. And then he'd go and he'd read whatever it is in their house. He wouldn't have to worry about carrying them. So that's reading glasses. Sunglasses are also, many have, sunglasses are an issue because sunglasses are things that are commonly taken on and taken off. I mean, you don't wear them permanently. So sunglasses, unless one has a specific reason or sensitivity, which would be his reason, so one should not wear sunglasses without an Eruv. Clip-ons also, plus you take those on and off, those would be a problem. Some have pointed out that the baseball clip-ons, where you flap them down over your glasses, those that would go, the Dwayne Wayne, right? Those. So those would be okay because you don't take them off, you just lift them up, so that would be okay. But sunglasses are generally not worn when there is no Eruv. Okay, and we move on, although it's somewhat of a fine line, but the ornament, the issue of ornaments. So what is considered an ornament? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yotzim b'moch v'sfug sha'al ha'makel l'fi she'heim merapim. That one is permitted to walk around with a moch, is like a, sfug is also a sponge. A moch is like a cloth or a sponge on top of the makim, meaning a bandage. One is permitted to walk around with a bandage because those are healing you, and therefore it is like an ornament. Right? What does a jewelry and a band-aid have in common? Right. So both of them are things you're allowed to wear, even if you are, even if there is no Eruv. So that is helping. That is for your body because it is aiding your body. One is permitted to wear those bandages.
What kind of ornament would be?
What ornament? A necklace, earrings, a pin, a bow.
So,
that's not sewn on Shabbos. That's not tied on Shabbos. So all of those are considered ornaments. So beyond that are things that are helping your body. So that is permitted under this rule here. The post about, I don't know, all the books, none of them seem to talk about it that much, but the reflector belts are also aiding your body. Reflector belts are mutter, even though there is no Eruv. Source number, right, so included in five are bandages, casts, prosthetic legs, things like that. So all of those are then going to be okay. Again, things that are eating your body and aren't going to come off.
Crutches.
Right. So we'll get to crutches and canes. We'll get to. That's an issue. Six. Source number six. Davar ha'asur l'tachshit u'lishtamish bo kagon maftichos noz shel kesef kamin tachshit asur. So he says, things that are made as a tachshit, that are made as an ornament, and to be used, such as nice keys. So he says that they are prohibited, because people are going to think that they are l'tzorech tashmish, that they are a problem. Now,
obviously that's changed.
So, what do you mean it's changed? Because people make, without an Eruv, they make these fancy keys, right? Yes. So that becomes okay. Why is it okay? I'm not sure why it's okay, other than to say that's beyond this. I mean, this is when it's nice, but it could be, I mean, it's both usable as well. I'm not sure what the difference is, but this is something that you would easily take off. That's something that you would not easily take off. That's something stuck to your garment, or it's something that people might confuse. That people, what?
By class, I used to make it. Tie clasp.
Right, the tie clasp for the men and the pins and stuff for the women, brooches for the women. Oh, so hold on the key belt. We'll get to the key belt.
That's part of
your begadim, right.
Right.
So I think what it means, it also might be because people won't think, right, this kind of says, because people are going to look at it and say that, oh, that it's the Tzorech Tashmish. But if it's made nice enough that people understand what exactly, that it's both nice as well as used for this Tashmish, but right now it's being worn as an ornament, so that's probably what the heter is. But something that is only, that is not really nice, but only used, only has a purpose. So the example they gave is, non-fancy watches, meaning the really, really plain watches, says that's not a garment, that's not a tachshit, that's just a use. And even though you have it, so you have a Shabbos watch. Now, some are not so happy even about that you shouldn't have watches, whatever, but to wear the very plain watches, so some have suggested that is a problem. Pocket watches would be the same thing. Pocket watches would be, because it has a purpose, but if it's something, you know, if it's really nice with the chain, so one can make a case that would be okay. I went in, out of order. I skipped, right, because I wanted to put seven, well, whatever. The next one I meant to put with five, which I have on my page seven, but you have on your page is six, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Gimel, where it says, Lo yatsa hazav v'kis she'osel ha'atzilu mizivasa she'lo yitanef ba, v'chein isha nida she'koshun begaj lefaneha she'lo titachik b'dam nidusa. So men or women that have liquids that are coming from them, so that's a question, whether one can wear something that would be protective. So when is it allowed? So it is permitted because it's uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable for you. However, if it's not uncomfortable for me, there's not so much coming out, but it's going to ruin my clothing, and therefore I want to wear something that's protective. So that would be a problem because it's not protecting you. Rather, it's protecting the clothing, right? So that's something to keep in mind, right? By the way, all of this, this whole shiur is reasons to have a community eruv. I don't know if people realize that, right? You know, the whole taina, oh, you shouldn't have an eruv, whatever. Like, whether you want to be machmir or not be machmir on it, there's reasons to have it because it's pretty complicated about what to do when there is no eruv. Okay, so what do we have now for source number 8? So source number 8 is actually very, very interesting. Habanim yotzim bezagim. So the first has to deal with children yotzim bezagim, right? That they have things like bells at the end of their clothing, like children who had bells at the end of their clothing. Harugim lahem b'ksusam, right? That they, right? Aval im enam arugim lo. So if they are sewn onto their clothing, it's fine. But if it's not sewn on, it's not so fine. Right, because they're going to take it off and they're going to play with it. Right, so they have to make sure that it's going to stay attached. The Rama says what the Rama says, but I want to see it at the bottom line here. It says, "Va'osan agulim yirokim shegezera hamalchus shekol Yehudi yisa echem him b'ksusan." If they have a yellow or green, yirokim is unclear which color that is, but yellow or green, it probably means a yellow circle that the king said that all Jews have to wear. This is the Rama writing in the, 1400s or something, right? And here they're talking about, he's talking about a yellow circle, not a yellow star. That's pretty wild. That was, so let's say you had to have this sewn onto your garment. So what did he say? It's mutter. You're allowed to wear that. Mutter latzeis behen afilu einu tafer b'ksuso rak mechubar sham ksas. Because that's going to be your way out. You're not going to take it off. So therefore you are permitted, he was mater, people walking around with that. There is a issue by Rakefet that discusses this on one of his shirim about when he was in Moscow. You have to walk around with your passport. Otherwise, they will go into your room and they will steal it. Right? If you or any of those or any identification, anything you leave in your room is fair game for not the SS but the KGB to come in and just take. So how do you get around on Shabbos? So truth, I put at the end of this year on miscellaneous stuff. But the way you do it is to carry it in an unusual fashion. You put it in your foot or you put it in your. You put it on top of your head in your hat or something like that, carry an unusual fashion. So we assume that in general, carrying in a city isn't only an Issur D'Rabbanan for the reasons we spoke about last week. And then you're carrying an unusual fashion. That's a secondary rabbinic prohibition. It's a tzorech getting a mitzvah, a tzorech getting around on Shabbos. So therefore, that was permitted. But that is kind of an eerie Ramah there with regards to the badges. So what?
The passport.
What, you were in Russia? Really?
Yeah, 3 times.
Oh.
So told me to put it, I was walking around. And
right.
What they would do is grab you on the street and say, where's your passport?
Oh, they would ask you for your passport.
They grab you, yeah. Where's
your passport? I was under the impression it was just the problem that they would steal it.
So then they would take you, after you say, I don't have one.
Right.
Then they take you to the police station, call up your wife and say, we have him here. He doesn't have a passport. You get 10 years in jail for that. It's going to cost you $10,000 to get a map. That's the game.
So is that still now, or just the Soviet Union?
Probably. No, I don't think anything changed.
So
anyhow, I sewed it in, and that was the end of it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. In Israel, they say you should carry a $90
bill into your coat for in case you're not on Shabbat.
That's what they told you in Chicago?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I remember a case in New York where they were robbing people coming home from shul. This is a number of years ago, and I think the rav said he can carry a dollar, something, to give it to the guy to get that he wouldn't beat you up. That you would have
into the inside.
Yeah, that's right. So right. The guy would show up. You give him $10, and he goes.
Wow, that's cheerful.
Yeah, right. Somebody, I think Riskin did that, told him that a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Well, so
but you said they could wear bells on their clothes, but isn't
there
music?
Yeah. So we have that with the Torahs. There's a lot of literature about the Torahs that they have the bells in them.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Why is that okay on Shabbos? So it's not. I mean, it's not really. I mean, it is mashmiya kol. It is. So I think that the heter for Shabbos specifically is it's covered the Torah. I think that's what they say.
Yeah.
That was the purpose of it. So why are children walking around with these bells? I'm not actually sure that they're bells that actually made noise. It might have just been like extensions to the clothing, might be it. But even if it's bells, it's children, I'm not sure. They might not have been as... No. the reality is that's what their clothes were.
Well, sometimes you have kids get, you know, put bells on their shoelaces instead of running around jingling, and that might that would be a modern example of.
You don't lose the kids.
So you don't lose the kids.
Exactly. Well, I'm not sure how that works. Mm-hmm. Mine led one of the Wyatt.
Okay, what do we have here? Next, verse number 9 on the back of the page. Kila sheyeshba ritzuos shemotchin osam bahem. So that was a like a string or handkerchief that has some kind of string attached to it. So mutulis atifa velatzis l'shusarabim ve'in haritzuos chashuos kemaso. You're allowed to walk out with that, and the string is not considered a muscle. The truth is, this probably should have been in the clothing section. But the if you have extra, right, like a scarf, so you're not using the whole scarf, right? You put the scarf, and then there's stuff that hangs down from the scarf. So you don't have to worry about the stuff that's hanging down. So that would go with regards to shoelaces, if you have extra, you know, you don't have to use the whole shoelace, right? Those kinds of things, things that are on the clothing that have no use for them at all, so those are, you don't have to worry about those. So on that list as well would be like a loose button, if there's extra buttons, the labels that appear inside your jackets, like you know what size it is, that it's checked by shatnez, those kinds of things. Lint, although maybe it's a good idea to take the lint out of your cuffs anyways, but you know, in theory that's not a prohibition because you're not really caring about it. And I so this surprised me, but the belt, the coat belts. So the coat belts, he says, because they're part of the style of the coat in Rabbi Riviat's book, you don't even have to.
Tie them.
You could let them like hang down, as that's because that's the style. I was surprised by that. I think in places without an eruv, the style is to tie them. But he thought that's what he wrote. He thought that was okay.
Extra buttons is not a problem.
Extra buttons are not a right. So I saw the art that not everybody agrees to that.
McCaplin,
really? He said what?
The eruv's not up. You should make an error. That you're never going to use.
You mean with like the extra buttons on your shirt kind of thing?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I saw that there was a.
Unless you make a knitter, that you will not use the extra buttons.
Right.
At all.
No, ever. But she's saying that because he's saying, I think what he's saying is the purpose of it being there is so that you don't lose it. So, but I mean, you do care about it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. So therefore, you have to say, I don't care about it in order for it to be buckled to the rest of the garment. That's probably the claim. Yeah, I don't know. You take a percentage of how many of those buttons ever actually get used. I'm not convinced that should be an issue. But it is a machlokas. Both opinions are brought down. And then finally, the last source that we have here is, with the canes. So a chigir is somebody who is lame, she'inu yachol leilech below makal, that is not permitted to walk, that is not able to walk without a cane. So mutu leilech bo afilu einu kashima, you're allowed to walk with it even though it is not attached to him. Aval im efshar lo leilech zulasa, but if you could walk without it a little bit, ve'ein notlan el lahachzikas, he's only using it to strengthen himself, so then it becomes prohibited. Right, so the thinking is that if you're walking with it all the time, it's like a third leg. You're not able to get around without it. It's like a third leg, and you're allowed to use it. So same thing would be. So this is another one of these cases where the worse you are, the better off you are. Right? If you're okay, you can walk a little bit. Now it doesn't mean I can't walk to shul. Right? Even that would be a problem. It means I can't take a step without it. Right, so if you have crutches, I can't take a step without the crutches, so that would be mutter to carry to use on Shabbos. But if you have a cane, I just use it a little bit, or a walking stick, I just use a little bit, so that would be a problem. And he adds in here, this is also harsh, sif yud ches is asuma asur latzis b'makal, that a blind person is not permitted to walk with this bus. He could walk without the, he has nothing wrong with his legs, right? He just can't see without the walking stick, but he could walk without it. So therefore Shulchan Aruch explicitly says that one is not permitted, he would not be permitted to use a walking stick. A few other items of interest that I found.
Say you have a broken leg.
Right.
And you need, or an injury to your foot or something, and you need the cane, but it's strengthening you as you heal.
Right.
But you can't walk with
it. So eventually you're not going to use it.
Right. But right now I can't walk without it.
Okay.
It's this Shabbos.
Okay.
It's this Shabbos, yeah.
So there would be a point at which, if there wasn't an error,
you would have an issue where you have to.
Yes.
Decide.
Wheelchairs, I saw as a bit of a dispute. Wheelchairs, so some say wheelchairs is. Wheelchair would not be if someone's pushing you, that's like pushing a stroller, that's not okay. But if you are pushing your own, if you have something wrong with your legs and you're pushing your own wheelchair and you can't walk at all, so I was always under the assumption that that's okay. Ruby had raised an issue that maybe it's not so okay because that's not like crutch, that's not considered like an extra limb, that's like considered a whole different rishus. I'm not sure what he said. If the issue came up, I'd have to look into it more. But it's just assume wheelchair is the same as a cane.
I was in and Lofra, and I was walking to shul with my friend, and this lady comes by. I guess the lady comes by with a vehicle, with an Israeli flag. I said, "Mordechai, what's the deal? She's going to shul, you know?"
Right.
So they have a Shabbos motorbike.
No, right, but this is talking about outside the Eruv.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
They exist.
It's amazing that
they have Shabbos scooters.
Yeah, they have Shabbos scooters. They have a lot of stuff.
And outside the Eruv, you could use that's
the question that they're raising here. Outside the Eruv might not be okay. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But inside the Eruv, this is usable, yeah. Big Rabbanim, I saw in Harrisburg, the Rabbi Emeritus, I think it's a private thing, the Rabbi Emeritus in Harrisburg, Rabbi Schertz. Yes. So he has that. I remember walking when I was there for Shabbos. I walked with him, you know, a mile home from to the person's house I was staying at. He walked with me the whole way. He's riding along.
Is that only if you can't walk?
That would only be if you. Yeah, it only relied if you can't walk.
Even
Even with an Eruv, you shouldn't use it if you right. You should, it's also a grum. You're relying on certain heterim, so we shouldn't do that. L'chatkila. What? Right, yeah, I saw that in the OU magazine. They had an advertising, right? An issue is gloves. Gloves, in theory, should be totally fine. However, I believe the quote from Rav Moshe that there is an issue with gloves that if someone comes over to you to shake your hand, so you take the glove off to shake his hand. So it's considered something that you take off. So some are machmer not to wear gloves, no matter how cold it is. I remember once Ari Willig every year would spend the Friday night in yeshiva and then walk back to Riverdale. So one year it was freezing cold. And I don't know if he told us before or after, but he mentioned that he did Erev Shabbos, he gathered a couple of people together and did a Taras Nedarim, that he had never worn gloves before on Shabbos, but he was going to walk 3 miles and it was going to be really cold. So he did a Taras Nedarim and wore gloves. And then wear gloves that week.
So if you're wearing them, you can't take them off to shake hands or something.
Well, in theory, you can, but you're standing still and you take it off and you shake your hand. But the concern is anything that's removable, you'll walk without putting them back on.
Okay.
Swings and tether balls, he has a discussion here. Those are okay. Meaning, even without an Erev, there's a swing in the park, you can take the kid to the park because there's no Akira and Hanacha. The same place where you do the Akira, where you do the lifting, is also where you do the Hanacha, the leaving off. So there's no. I was wondering, maybe a seesaw might be a problem. I don't know. Helco's Playground would be another series. A seesaw, plus you're doing. I don't know. Okay, I was thinking about that today. Next, ID cards we did. Tickets when there was a canter. That was a big machlokus in Brooklyn in the early part of the 1900s, right? When they had a famous canter, so they sold tickets. So there's no Erev in Brooklyn. So can you bring your ticket to shul? Even though there's no, that was a big shiloh. Stroller. So strollers, one is not permitted to push. He has a little discussion about what happens if you didn't realize where the Erev was and you push the stroller out of the Erev. So the best thing to do is to just keep on pushing it back in, right? To not stop and just turn around. If you stopped and now you are stuck, so you are, that is a big problem. How to get the Erev, especially regardless of whether there is a kid in it. A kid in it might make the urgency more. So there's a couple of things to do with regards to children on Shabbos. So there is a concept that a chai nosei es atzmo, that somebody who is living or something, somebody that is living carries themselves. So that is applied to real halachic circumstances, including carrying somebody. Now that heter only works though for somebody that can walk on their own. If they can walk on their own, so then you can lift them up and carry them someplace else. So that has, Yosef, for instance. So if Yosef, our son, right, he's able to, in theory, walk from here to, from shul to home, but there is no telling, what his behavior would be on that way. So in theory, he's able to go. So he walks. So one would be permitted if he gets stuck in the middle and he refuses to go any further. So we'd be permitted to pick him up and walk the rest of the way. If it's, or at least walk till he stops. carrying on.
At least
until
they get out of the street.
Right. At least to the other end of the street. Right. That is the chances are that's where they will be stopping. Yeah. So one can, but if the child is not moving yet, so that doesn't work then. So there are ways of dealing with it. You walk a couple feet at a time. You hand them back one to another. But don't fall into that problem in the first place. And then finally, the issue of medications. This is also a serious issue. This has come up here. A person has a medication, A, that they need to take, or B, that they might need to take. Like, I mean, if somebody has what's called the glycerin pills, right? All of a sudden you have a heart attack. Right. So you walk around the rest of your life carrying these pills in one's pocket, right? So,
or the EpiPens.
Right, things like that. So, if there's no Erev, so then that means I can't go anywhere on Shabbos ever, because who knows if I'm ever actually going to need it. So that's kind of in the ID passport area where you figure out a way to walk around with a shinoi. So the pills are easy, right? The pills you could, it's a little nasty to say, stick in your foot, but in your shoe, but you stick someplace on you can stick it under your tie, you can stick it in your hat, under the, whatever. There's ways of dealing with the pills. EpiPens are larger and probably more complicated how to figure it out. But if that is an ongoing issue, so then to figure out some kind of heter to do it. There is a distinction towards whether it would be a one Shabbos deal or whether it would be a permanent deal. I mean, if it's going to be a permanent deal, so there's more heterim. If it's a one Shabbos deal, so okay, once in a while I have to stay inside. So these, even though we have an Erev, Winwood has an Erev, these halachos do come up. There is I have a friend who's a rabbi in a community that does not have an Erev. He told me that the first Shabbos, that they hired one of these shluchim, shluchot from Israel, and the first Shabbos, this family shows up, and they show up in shul with their kids. Yeah. And the whole family, we thought they were Shomer Shabbos that we hired this couple. And they told them, there's no Erev here, you can't bring your kids. And they looked at him like, what's an Erev? Like, this is like a frum, orthodox, rabbi type couple. And it was like, what's that? that applies these nowadays. So these halachas come up, and when they do come up, we should be aware of how to deal with them.
The belt key.
Oh, the belt key, right. So the belt key has to be part of the belt, right? So it has to be the thing that sticks into the hole as opposed to just hanging onto the belt. And the rubber band things I'm not so really comfortable with either. I mean, people do these rubber bands and just tie it around themselves. So that's a shaila. That's not, that's, no one wears that, right? Yeah. So they make Shabbos belts. Those are what we should.
The tie key and the ornament key.